The two things we want to discuss today are the issues of machal ben drusai, about at which point the food becomes bishlakum in the cooking process. It's not, I guess it's lemaisa in a situation where a person figures out, oh my goodness, I can't believe someone's cooking my food and they want to try to fix it. I don't know how often that comes up, but just to understand what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. And then we'll spend the rest of the time discussing all different types of methods of cooking and which are subject to Bishul Akum and which are not. And we'll come away with some very important kulas if a person would need to rely on them. The first thing is that the Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuf Yud Gimel Ches that if the Jew puts the food on the fire and then he removes it later on, and the guy puts the pot back, so the food will be usher, unless it reached Macha Ben Drusai. If it reached Macha Ben Drusai, then if it's before it reached Macha Ben Drusai, then it's possible to save it. So this is a machlokus between the Rashba and the Ran. The Rashba writes in the Torah Sabayis, and they regarding whether it's going to be third cook or a half cooked. So let's see. So let's go through different cases. Lemaisa. So the guy cooked the food to chatzi bishulo. We paskin that it needs to be, lamaisa needs to be a third cooked, right? This is all taken from Hilchos Shabbos, a quick review. There's a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam regarding when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, when did you violate bishul? When it reaches Malchal Ben Drusai, that's what the Gemara says, and the Shitas and the Rishonim are either you violate when it reaches a half cooked or reaches a third cooked. So the Chazanish asks, what does that mean, a half cooked or a third cooked? How do I measure if something's a half cooked or a third cooked? So the Chazon Ish explains that you have to look at the time it takes to cook something. If it takes your cholent 4 hours to be edible and ready, so that means chatzi bishulo, half cooked, means 2 hours. If it means a third, it would be a third of 4 hours, whatever the math is, ayin sham. So that would be that's how we measure when it comes to cooking, knowing whether something is half or a third cooked. You look at the time frame. So let's say we know that we paskin that it reaches a third cooked, so then we already have an issue of bishul akum, which is a chumrah. If it would be to chatz bishul, to half cooked, then that would be more lenient for us if the person needed to be. So let's say the guy cooked to chatz bishul. It cooked past the third amount. And the Jew now wants to cook it from the midway point to the kol tzorcho, to when it's completely ready and available, right? So it would take the hamburger, would take 10 minutes to cook, and now it's been cooking for 5 minutes by the guy. Is there any way to fix it if it has reached the 5-minute mark in order to get to the 10-minute mark? So the Rav Ozner writes in Chelek Vav and Kuf Ches, and also the Chalkas Binyamin say, that the halacha follows in the chaver no matter what. Once it reached the half-cooked point, your hamburger is usser. And there's no way to fix it, and there's nothing else to discuss. However, the Beis Hillel, who's the Beis Hillel? It's in the back of your Shulchan Aruch. You probably have not looked at it yet. But the Beis Hillel is a contemporary of the Shach, so he writes here in, I think, his only comment, or one of his only comments in this Siman, in the Darkei Tshuva, and the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky as well, that they are makel, that if the food has reached the 5-minute mark on the hamburger, so there's a way to fix it. They understand when the Mechaber says that if it reaches Machal Ben Drusai, then you can't fix it, so that was if the food was cooked to Chatzi Bishulo. But if even the Chaber would admit that if it only cooked to, I messed up the case, even the Chaber would admit that if it cooked to a third, only to a third, then you could fix it afterwards as well. I flipped the case. Let me say that again. You have the hamburger where it takes 10 minutes, and then it's at the, let's say it's at the 3-minute mark, right? So it reached a third cooked, right? So these mekilim are saying that lakula, the mechaber would allow you to fix it if it reached a third. That's what the mekilim are saying. The machbirim are saying, no, the mechaber is lechumra no matter what. So if it reached a third on the hamburger, there's no way to fix it. That's the machlokas. And the poskim seem to say, lemaisa, that if they cook the hamburger to a third, so you still have a kula, that as long as it didn't reach half, you'd still be able to fix the hamburger. That's the machlokas in the achronim. That was confusing. Next. What if a Jew starts to cook the food, and that, yeah.
Even the Rama says it's machmer.
Yeah, we'll get to the Rama later on. We're talking within the sheet of the machaber. Even the machaber, someone who wants to be machmer, even within the sheet of the machaber, he would allow you to fix it if it only reached a third cooked. What if a Jew starts to cook, and then it was removed, and then a guy came along and put it back? Okay? You're cooking the hamburger, and the guy in the middle of the process comes along and takes it off and puts it back on for whatever reason. So the Gemara says that if something was cooked less than Macha Medusai and the guy finishes cooking it, so be Bishul Akum. Right? So the Shach quotes the Bach, who says that it's own this whole discussion in the Gemara, that if it reaches a certain point and the guy puts it back, so that's only talking about if the Jew took it off, says the Bach. If the Jew took off the food and then the guy put it back, then that would be a problem. But if the guy took it off the stove and then the guy put it back, says the Bach, then that would be okay. Why? Why is it better if a guy did it? So the Bach says that the guy can't come and ruin your food. Who gave him permission to come and ruin your food? I had a hamburger on the grill, and the guy comes along and decides to take it off on his own and to ruin my hamburger. He doesn't have rishus to do that. And therefore, since the, in a sense to say that he doesn't have rishus to make something of mine into something that's usser, so therefore the Bach says, lakula, that if the guy takes the hamburger off the grill, so then that would be okay for you. If you take the hamburger off the grill, then that would be a problem. The Shach and the Taz say that's incorrect. This doesn't fit with any of the Shittas and the other Rishonim and the Gemara, and therefore a Machmer, even whether the Jew takes it off the grill or whether the guy takes it off the grill, so still the hamburger would be usher. What if the guy cooks the food to Macha ben Drusai, and then the guy cooks it l'kol tzorcho? Sorry, and the Jew cooks it l'kol tzorcho. So the guy takes the hamburger, and he cooks it for 5 minutes on the 10-minute hamburger, and then the Jew comes along, takes it off, puts it back on, and now he's going to be cooking it for the later 5 minutes until the hamburger reaches its perfect state of doneness.
According to the Bach, he says that if the guy took it off without Yisrael asking him, that even a machaber would agree to look at it.
Yes.
Even though they say the reason is because it's no different than a kashlapas kesam, and that's a problem.
Yeah, so in this, he thinks that the whole discussion doesn't apply. The whole discussion is only if a Jew does it, because the guy doesn't have the ability to ruin it, no matter what. Okay? Next. Oh, so what are we talking about over here? So the guy cooks the Macha Medrusai, and now you want to fix it. So this is the machlokas between, seemingly here between the poskim, the Rashba, the Rabbeinu Chanan, the Ran, and the Gemara of Odezar Lam Ches, are Machmer. Once it reaches Macha Medrusai, there's no way to fix it. Your hamburger is over. However, the sheet of the Rush, in Perek Beis, Oslamed Beis, the Rush says, the Kula, that if the Jew takes it from Macha Medrusai and cooks it, the Kol Torcho, so from the 5-minute mark on the hamburger to the 10-minute mark, so that would be Mutter. And he says, this is a din derabanan. This whole thing is a din derabanan. As long as the Jew is makariv the bishul anyway, the Jew has some part in quickening the cooking process, so says the Rush, that is fine. So what do we have in the poskim? We have a three-way machlokas when it comes to whether a Jew can fix something that was cooked to Macha ben Drusai. The Shita of the Shla, we quoted last time, the Shar Osios, the Shla says, in the name of the Marashal, there's no way to help it. Your hamburger is not good anymore. Once it was cooked to Macha ben Drusai, throw it out, give it to somebody else, but there's no way you could eat such a thing. This is cited here by the Pisachei Chu and Sifkat and Dalid, and those are the Machmirim. The next step, the more lenient opinions, is that of the Mechaber and the Levush and the Kaf HaChaim, who say that it's only going to be usher to eat that hamburger cooked to Macha ben Drusai, and then you came in and picked it up and cooked it all the way, if there's no Hefsin Meruba. But if there's a Hefsin Meruba and you're going to lose out, you bought a fancy piece of steak, and this is all you have, and then the guy came and ruined it, and they cooked it halfway. So in this case, and you're going to lose out on this piece of meat, so you're allowed to fix it in order to be able to eat it. The Kaf HaChaim says, even by Erev Shabbos, let's say the guy comes, and they're trying to help out, and they start to cook the food, and it's Erev Shabbos, and they cook it halfway, so you can save it even after the fact, and cook the Kol Torcho, the Kavod Shabbos, you could have food for Shabbos. Sheet of the Kaf HaChaim. And the most Mekel, the third sheet is out of the Ramah, and the Shach, and the Chachma Sadim, the Aruch HaShulchan, who follow the Rosh and say that you're allowed to fix something cooked to Macha ben Drusai, and this is the, assuming the halacha for the Ashkenazim. Yeah?
Would LS be, it has to be specifically Macha ben Drusai, or even to a stage where, say, it's past Macha ben Drusai?
Even past Macha ben Drusai, not before, but ad vaad, even if it's to Macha ben Drusai, as long as you have some being Makarev the Bishul, some involvement in the Bishul before it reaches Kol Tzorcho, so it's possible to save it.
And it depends on the individual, say the person who's
Yeah, depends on the individual.
He's cooked to that stage, but he cooks it well done to get it out of
there,
it'll be fine.
No, I don't know. I guess when we get into, maybe hamburger's not a good example, but I guess when we get into that stage of medium rare versus rare or whatever, I guess you would have to debate what's considered the Kol Tzorcho. We'd probably I don't know. Well, I'll be the Mekel there. I don't know if we'd be Mekel on top of that. Okay. The Makor Mayim Chaim and the Ravazner and Chelek Beis and the Chalchas Ben Yamin, all based on the Ra'ah, say that according to the Ramah, if the food was cooked, lekal tzorcho by a guy, and the Jew came and cooked it more, because we have a concept in Hilchos Shabbos of mitstamek v'yafalo, meaning the food has reached its completely edible stage, and it's completely fine, but if you cook it a little bit more, it gets more geschmack, right? You have ribs, right? Slow-cooked ribs. So the ribs, if you cook them for 3 hours, they're delicious. But if you cook them for 10 hours, they're even more delicious. And in that case, when you have something that was cooked l'kol tzorcho, but you could cook it more, v'yitztamek v'yafalo, to make it more enjoyable, so it would become bishul yisrael as well. Within the sheet of the Ramah, if you're going to be makel for the Ramah, and allow you to cook after Macham and Rusai, then even if the ribs are cooked for 3 hours, if you want to cook them for even longer to make them more delicious, so that would also save it as well, according to the Chalkos Binyamin. The Pesach Yeshuvah here, in Sifkas and Gimel, so he cites the Teferis Lamosha, who discusses a case of a guy who cooks the food until Macham and Rusai, and then the Jew removes it from the fire, and then the guy puts it back. Very complicated kitchen. So he wants to say maybe the Jew was mevatel, the first bishul akum of the guy, and therefore it's not a problem. And he's mesupik about the matter, but perhaps the Jew can save it in the middle. But I don't know how often that's going to come up. Let's move on now to the issues of methods of cooking, which is quite important. So let's go through the easy ones, and then we'll get to the more difficult ones. So this is in Sif Yud Gimel here, and the Mechaber gives a whole list over here. So let's go through the easy ones. Sli roasting, for sure, there's Bishul Akum, right? He takes a chicken, and he puts it in the oven, so Bishul Akum, nothing to discuss. Afia, baking as well. That means, let's say you had something that would be you undergo the baking process with some sort of mezonos in it, but we wouldn't treat it like pas. Maybe you want to have the whole donut discussion over there, so, or something like that. So the donuts are fried, but let's say you had some sort of thing where it would do a fia on it, but we wouldn't call it pas. So over there as well, says the Chalkos Binyamin and the Ramah, that it would be subject to Bishul Akum. The third thing is tigun. Tigun is frying. So according to the Chacham Asadim and Klal Samech Vav, frying is subject to Bishul Akum. So if a person wants to fry chicken, that would be an issue as well. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that since Bishul is frying regarding Hilchos Shabbos, so too would be over here as well. And this is also mashma from Rashi and Daf Lamed Ches, who seems to imply that frying is subject to Bishul Akum as well. The more complicated issue is now of maliach, salting. We know that when it comes to Yerodea, we have a concept of maliach keroseach, that salting something is like you are cooking it as well, because the salt speeds along the cooking process and allows the breaking down of the structure of the food, and therefore salt has this ability to cook. So the Mechaber says that salting is not keroseach, it's not like cooking when it comes to Bishul Akum, that's very clear. So if you look in the Bira Hagra, in Sifkas Lamed Vav, he cites a machlokas on Daf Lamed Ches, Lamed Beis, there, saying the Sintu is a machlokas regarding salting. According to Rashi, there's no machlokas because they're talking about that everything was cooked. But according to the Ran, they're talking about whether you're allowed to, salting is considered cooking. We have a machlokas, but then if you turn to Daf Mem, it's very clear in the Gemara assumes that salting is not like cooking, and they allow people to sell things that were salted, even if it was salted by a guy. So that's clear in the poskim. Just to one Mari Makom, which you should be aware of, there is a sheet in the Rishon that says that salting is asra when it comes to Bishul Akum. And that's a sheet of the Or HaZaruah, Masachas HaZaruah, in Siman Kuf Tzadihei. The Or HaZaruah, seemingly citing the Rashbam, says that if you salt something, it would be subject to Bishul Akum for a certain amount of time. You have to discuss how long you have to salt it for when it comes to your Yerodea. But if you salt something, it would be subject to Bishul Akum. And the Sfas Emes, the Chedushim HaMasachas Beitza and Daft HaZayim HaBeis, cites a comment of the Psikta Zutrasi, one of the later Midrashim, on Parshas Chukas, who says that there is Bishul Akum when it comes to salting. And the Sfas Emes says that perhaps there's ruin to Machmer when it comes to be salting, but it is as a tzarachian because it's not the sheet of the poskim. But we do have certain sheets when it comes to salting that there would be a chumrah. One other thing as well, it could create a bit of an issue because the halachas of maliach keroseach, of salting, is like cooking. What is the status of the food if you do that in basar v'chalav? It's aser kedei klipa. It's aser on the outside that you have to tear it away. So what we'd be left with is a piece of food that part of it would be bishul akum, and part of it would be fine, which is interesting metzias. You'd have a piece of chicken that the outer layer would be bishul akum, according to the sheets and the Rishonim, and the inside would be perfectly fine. There's a tshuva from a Vazner about in Chelek Vav, where he talks about a piece of food that it was cooked macha ben drusai on one side, but not the top side, and then the Jew flipped it over and cooked it bishul akum on the other side. So you had this kind of split piece of food where one side was bishul akum and one side was bishul yisrael. So I guess it's possible to have such a weird case where you have two types of things in the same food. Kavush is pickling or marinating. The Rama and the Torah say very clearly that it is not subject to bishul akum. If a guy pickles something for you, that is fine. There is a sheet of the Rambam. The sheet of the Rambam is not so clear what he holds by kavush, but we're not going to discuss that right now. Now, the two things that are lamaisa nowadays are issues of smoked foods. The first thing is ishan, smoking foods. So, smoked foods are not subject to bishul akum according to the Torah and the Mechaber. But the question is there a difference between foods that are smoked with heat or foods that are smoked in cold? What's the difference? What are the foods that are the difference? So lox and salmon are what we call cold smoked. Okay, what that means is they're in a room and they pump smoke into the room, but it's cold in the room, meaning it's not hot. It's not ice cold, but it's not hot. There's no heat that penetrates it. Rather, it's using the room temperature and the smoke alone to make the salmon and the lox to the flavor that you like. On the other hand, there's things like whitefish. Whitefish is smoked, but that's with heat. So they want to know, is there a difference between the two types of things? So there's an article, a piece by Rav Yaakov Luban, who's a rav in New Jersey. He's an administrator for the OU. So he has a piece in the Masorah Journal Chelek Vav, where he points out that cold smoked fish is certainly not a problem because there's no heat. But he thinks that fish that are smoked with heat could be a problem. And he describes the differences between the two things, and he says it could be that there's a problem because the fish is olal shulchan malachim, and you're using heat, and it could be that maybe this is a problem. Yeah. So he thinks that it's talking about cold smokes. Yeah.
The Torah says as long as there's no ish, right, it's not a
problem. Yeah.
So they're saying the heat is fire.
There's no fire. The smoke is hot. The smoke itself is hot. It's not. There's no fire on the food.
As long as there's no war, then
it would be told so. That'd still be a problem. It's told so. Yeah. Why not? Should be. So the is that not the case?
Why is cold smoking good?
Because there's no heat at all. It's just like taking like pepper and like putting it on fish. That's not doing anything. There's no
fire.
What?
It's still from the fire, no?
No, it's the smoke is created through another method. They have it's not through there's no heat on the smoke. Okay? So that's the machlokas. So he gives three suggestions. He says the first thing is you have a Jew turn on the smoke for whatever the process is. He says that's not reasonable to have a Jew out there every single time they want to smoke the fish. And the other thing is to have a pilot light. But the problem is that these smokers don't have pilot lights, so that's not an option. So he comes up with an interesting third mahalach. He says that, I think this is what is done, is that you cold smoke the fish first. And therefore, when you cold smoke it first, it's now removed from bishul akum, because now the fish is edible as it is cold smoked. And then afterwards, you smoke it with the heat. And therefore, since it's not subject to bishul akum anymore, it can't be touched, and the smoke from the heat is not going to make it usser. This is his suggestion, and he writes that they do this anyway in a lot of places. This is part of the processing, and he thinks that this is a good way in order to get out of this issue. There is one sheet that holds it's not a problem. Rav Eliyahu Pesach Falk, in the back of Bishul Yisrael, he says there's no issue of bishul akum and smoking foods at all. But this is what the kosher industries do when it comes to foods that are smoked. The next thing that is subject to debate is steaming the food, what we call kitor. So in this case, we have a machlokas haposkim. Rav Yashuv is cited in the Shvus Yitzhakim Chelek Vav, and Rav Azur in the Shevi Levi Chelek Tes, Kuf Samach Beis, that steam is a normal way of cooking. We steam food all the time. I saw yesterday, there's a whole oven. You can buy this extremely expensive oven for your house. It's like $10,000 or less, some oven where you can cook the food, you can cook the food with just steam. You have to put in this whole container of water and it'll cook anything you want with steam inside the oven. A whole oven in your house just to steam your vegetables and your fish or whatever you want. So this is something that is certainly a derech in which people are, what? I don't know, but it's certainly something that's we buy food all the time. You go to the restaurant, they have steamed vegetables, the fish is steamed. It's certainly a normal cooking process that can easily be attained. You can have a very fancy machine to do it for you, but it's certainly a cooking process that people use all the time. Those are the machmirim. Rav Menashe Klein is a tshuva in Chelek Yud Beis Yud Zayin, and he says that the Shulchan Aruch said that Ishun is not subject to Bishul Akum, and he thinks that Ishun means steam. He doesn't think it means smoking. He thinks it means steam. And then he quotes as follows: "V'chein shamati miyedid nafshi hagon v'reinu harav Moshe Feinstein zeichat tadak v'kosh l'vrachel chayom haba shepasuk lahatira be'isra derabanan in lahachmer yosmidai." He quotes Rav Moshe saying that when it comes to steam foods, we cannot be more machmer than what's brought down, and therefore we are lenient if a guy steams the food. And this is an afkamina, especially when it comes to tuna, because Rav Avadya Tshuva and Yabi Omer Chelekei, Simon Tess, which is the famous shoe about the tuna, and he says that they steam cook the tuna beforehand, before they put it in the can. And therefore, he says steaming is not a problem, and this is why the tuna, one of the reasons he says tuna is not a problem when it comes to Bishul Akum. And he notes that a number of other people said the same way, the Darchei Tshuva and the Sri Eish, and even though others disagree, so the kashrus organizations generally only use steaming as a kula with something else. Meaning they'll have one of the other kulas we've discussed, and then they'll combine it together with steaming as a possible hetero when it comes to different types of food. Now, you certainly cannot steam the food inside the can. This is sometimes done where they have the food inside the can, and they steam it in the juices inside the can. They'll heat it up, so right, the liquid inside the can will then cook the food inside the can with it. So that's a problem, because you're actually cooking the food inside the liquid before it even gets steamed, and that would be a problem to do such a thing, according to the poskim. The next issue is regarding electricity. Is there bishul akum if I heat something with heat from electricity without fire? So you have a hot electrical coils. So would that be considered bishul akum? Maybe it only applies to Eish. So there are two mekilim, the Koch VaYitzchak in Chelek Gimel, and the Teres Moshe in Yerodeisim in Reish Mem Ches. There's a Rav who survived the war and lived after the Holocaust. So they think that there's no bishul akum when it comes to electricity. The Hetayim of the Shulchan Aruch are all based on when there's no Eish. When there's Eish, there's a problem with bishul. But when there's no Eish, then everything is fine. And those are two very unique opinions, because Rav Shrimach writes in Shulchan Vanagos Chelek Aleph, Tav Lametes, and the Shevet Levi Chelek Ches, say that they heard that there are people who allowed bishul akum when in cases of electricity. And they said that's not the case, because all we care about when it comes to bishul, the rule in defining or removing something from what is considered bishul or not, is the quality of what it does to the food. If it cooks it in a less qualified way, they say, so then, in a way that's not going to be as nice, so that is what's going to make it mutter. And if I cook something on fire, or I cook it with an electrical coil, it's going to cook it the same way. It's going to have the heat, it's going to heat it up, and there's not going to be a difference in the quality for most people, and therefore, even cooking with electricity is going to be a problem, according to the poskim. The next issue is microwaves, and this is going to be a very big kula. I thought, when I started looking about microwaves, I thought for sure it's going to be usher, there's no shaila. But there are very significant shitas when it comes to microwaves. Let's begin with the most lenient, and then we'll go to the machmirim. Rav Nassim Gestetner in the Lahoros Nassim Chelek Zion, and the Rivos Ephraim, Ephraim Glibad and Chelek Ches in Tuf Kuf Yud Aleph, and Rabbi Heinemann all hold there's no Bishul Akum at all when it comes to a microwave. And there's no fire, and it's no different than Chamei Tveria, cooking with the waters in Tiberias. Now, there are some shitas that hold that cooking in Chamei Tveria would be Bishul Akum, but regardless, they think, what's the difference? There's no fire, there's nothing going on over here. And the Rivos Ephraim says that's like Bishul Bachama, it's like cooking with the sun, which is Mutzah Usr on Shabbos. And even though he holds that Rav Moshe said that using a microwave is Usr Midoraisa on Shabbos, he says this case would be different, but he doesn't explain why. He doesn't explain why. He just says that the case would be different. Rabbi Heinemann says, the rabbinical prohibition of Bishul Akum applies only to conventional cooking methods. Cooking, frying, roasting. Food prepared through microwaving is not included in the prohibition. Apparently Rabbi Willig also holds that cooking with a microwave is not Bishul Akum. And in a fantastic piece in the Maarechei Lev from Professor Zev Lev, for the founder of Machon Lev, so that was good. So he has a whole tshuva about microwaves, and he has about Shabbos and Bishul Akum, and he says, he has a fantastic explanation about how microwaves work. It's very good. And he explains that, essentially, as we know, right, the microwaves don't actually heat up the food, they heat up the liquid. The microwaves cause the liquid inside to conduct and to get hot, and therefore it's not a normal way of cooking, and therefore he feels there's no issue at all when it comes to cooking with a microwave, which is a very good kula to have on hand. However, in the Halakhically Speaking, Year 7, Volume 2, so he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Pam, who were machmir when it came to microwaves, and this is the opinion of Rav Yashim and the Shvas Yitzchak, and Rav Vazner and the Shevin Alevi Chelek Es, and Chelek Tes, and Shuas Vanagos Chelek Hay, and Rabbi Force in the Kosher Kitchen as well, all hold that cooking in a microwave is derech bishul. We use microwaves all the time, and therefore it is certainly usser if the food is cooked in a microwave. Yes?
Is it something like taking a cold piece of chicken in the fridge and putting it in the microwave?
It's already cooked?
Yeah.
No, we'll get to that in bishul achar bishul later on. We're talking about take something that's not cooked and you heat it up on the microwave. Okay? So, what?
How often do you cook dishes?
Baked potato. You need a raw potato, you put it in the microwave for a minute.
There you go, baked potato. I saw somebody make a whole cake just by taking the ingredients and putting it in a mug and stick it in a microwave, and they came out with a whole cake. Okay? So you're just not tapping into the true potential in your microwave. There is a middle ground. The Chalkas Ben Yamin here writes in Sifkatz and Kufchavav, he's unsure. And Rabbi Olbem writes in the Minchas Chaim, in the same shul we quoted last time, in Yoredes and in Dalet, and Rav Asher Weiss, the Minchas Asher, on the same piece we've been quoting from the entire summer, in Simon Hay and Dvarim. So he says that B'dieved or Neshas HaDchak, you can be lenient with a microwave. And Rav Shlomo Miller writes in the Halacha Brura, which is the pamphlet that's put out by the Kashrus organizations in Toronto, he says you can use a microwave as a snif lahakel if a shivcha beveis Yisrael. So that means you could have a maid in the house, in a Jewish home, use a microwave to make something. So you have three kools, a shivcha, beveis Yisrael, and a microwave. You come up with enough heterim to allow, which is significant. You have someone who is elderly, you have someone who is something for the kids, they need food, nobody's home. So the microwave is a way to get out of it, in a reliable way to do it, which is good to know and good to have in one's back pocket. Professor Lev here has a whole suggestion for the machmirim. He thinks that you should hardwire your microwave and put on a separate panel to preset it before you leave the house, and then all the guy would have to do is to close the microwave, and that would cook on, and it would be like lighting a pilot light, he says, in the same way, like having the fire lit before. I wouldn't recommend tinkering with your microwaves. Let's get through other small things as well. Let's get to the issue with kelim. The Ben Yishchai writes in Parshas Chukas, the Shevet Levi writes in Chelek Tes, the Chalkos Ben Yamin also says that we're machmer by a kli rishon that's not al gabei aish, right? By Hilchos Shabbos, we know you're not allowed to stir the chalent on the fire, right? Because that would be, according to the Shitas and the Rishonim, that would be speed up the cooking process. But if the food is off the fire, if the chalent's off the fire, you are allowed to do it because we're more lenient when the food is not al gabei haish, when the kli rishon is not actually on the fire itself. However, we're being machmer over here, according to the Ben Yishchai. The Sefer Bishul Yisrael says in the name of Revel Yashuv that there's no Bishul Akum if the food is not off the fire, if the kli rishon is not on the fire. I don't know what the case would be, but if you wanted to cook with a kli rishon that's not on the fire anymore, Revel Yashuv would say there's room to be matzer. Again, not sure how you would work that. The Maharsham in Chelek Gimel, in Reish Sarivav, says that there's a suffig by irui kli rishon, whether we're lenient when it comes to Bishul Akum. So that would mean the guy would take a kli rishon and pour it onto the food. So in that case, there's a suffik. And this is cited by the Shevet Alevi in Chelek Tes. And I guess that would be machmir. That would be enough machmir by perhaps one who wants to be machmir for coffee or tea, because since we're only dealing with an iri kli rishon, we already have a suffik, and that would be another hetzer for one who wanted, who's generally machmir when it comes to issues of bishul akum and tea and coffee. The next issue is one of a klisheni. Rabbi Forst says that we are machmir when it comes to kali habishul, things that cook easily like eggs. When it comes to a klisheni, again, I'm not sure how you would cook and who cooks an egg in a klisheni, but if a person wanted to do such a thing, you would have to be machmir. What if you have something that's yad nichvas? Yad nichvas means it's scalding hot, but it's not in a klisheni anymore. So there, the Chalkas Binyamin says that there's room to be lenient because it's a machlokas itself when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos. The Chuvas Vanagos Chelik Aleph Taflam and Vav says there's no isser of iri klisheni. That should be obvious to everyone. Pouring from a klisheni onto something else. The Prima Gadim and Kufiyot Beis says there's no problem of foods cooked in the sun. That should be obvious as well. And he cites the Darchei Tshuva. This is cited by the Darchei Tshuva and the Chalkas Binyamin, that if you want to cook food in the sun, that would be fine, right? It used to be in school, you build some sort of contraption and use the power of the sun and make marshmallows and s'mores and stuff. So if a guy built it for you and you want to cook in the sun, so you would have some way to be lenient. The Rush there in the same piece in Avodah Zarah says there's no isser of when the guy reheats the food. This is important to know. Ein bishul achar bishul when it comes to food, and therefore if you want the guy to reheat something for you, that would be fine. And this is brought for the Taz and the Shach over here. One last thing, let's just discuss eggs. The Mechaber writes in the next Sif in Sif Yedalid that Beitza Afal Pisharoi Legoma Chaya Im Bishla Goy Asura. So the Mechaber says that Bishal Akum is a problem when it comes to egg. The Taz says, why would I think to be Makil? Because you could swallow an egg if you wanted to, and therefore, but he says, we're going to treat like Bishal Akum regardless. There's a story brought in the Masoros Moshe in Yoredeya, Simon Samach Alf, O Samach Alf, where they say that in the yeshiva in Staten Island, the guy came in once, and they decided he was going to help out the yeshiva, and he took all the eggs in the yeshiva, and he hard-boiled them, so the yeshiva would have hard-boiled eggs. And Ramosha said, Usser, got to get rid of all the eggs, and the eggs are no good, because since we're machmer, when it comes to eggs as well. Now, there is one cool when it comes to egg. The Pritohar says, and the Chalkas Binyamin explains, that any involvement the Jew has in the cooking process of the egg is sufficient, because eggs cook so quickly that anything you do is going to be significant in the involvement. You don't have to wait about shlish bishul or chetzi bishul, any of these things. Anything the Jew does in the cooking process of the egg would be fine, because the egg cooks at such a quick and easy pace.